Here we are. Can you believe it? It's already episode 16. Yeah, you heard me correctly. 16. We've been doing about 16 weeks of episodes. It's pretty insane to think about. It feels like we just started the podcast. But as you tell, it's one of those days, crazy hair going, bedhead. MJ's pointed that out right away. So thank you for that. You know, how are you doing today, MJ?
I'm doing good, man. It's crazy. 16 weeks of this. It honestly does feel like we just started this. I had no idea this was gonna, end up how it has, but I'm glad it did, and I'm happy to be able to do this with, you, Phil. Great. It's a great time every week.
So what shows are coming up? I heard you have something going on next week.
Yeah. Actually, I have to catch a flight next Thursday. I'm actually going out to work a show for Team Throttle Monster in Nebraska. So finally getting some throttle therapy. Well, not necessarily me, but I'll be out there helping out.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about our guest. You know what? Let's not even talk about our guest. Let's just play the video and bring him on. Gary, it's awesome having you on the podcast. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. Glad to be here.
Welcome. We always start off, with the same question every time. Why don't you explain to everyone watching how you got into the motorsports industry and eventually into the monster truck industry?
I got into it. I had opened an off-road shop in San Marcos, California, and I had built a lot of lifted street trucks and stuff, and then I decided to build a monster truck, something that I could park out front for advertising, and I built that truck, and then I was doing a World of Wheels car show, and I met Brian Cardiff and Dewey Middlecamp, which they have the Cardiff Giant, and they're like, "Oh, you need to run that truck," and so that's kind of how it started. It was really built for an advertising tool, but it became something I ended up doing all the time.
So tell us a little bit, because I know I did some research on it. I actually found out the first truck you built was actually called the San Diegan. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, the first truck was called the San Diegan. And again, it was for that advertising for that shop, and that lasted about 2 months. I'm like, not a cool name. So ended up changing it to the Terminator.
So what was the thought process behind, running the Terminator truck?
I don't know. I mean, I like the movie. It was early 84, so that was when that first movie hit. And I think the original paint had a, I can't remember if it had like a cartoon kind of a Terminator guy. It wasn't really looking like the Terminator guy. It was its own image, but I kind of stuck with that name, other than I went to the X-Terminator after that, so, which was actually my favorite truck, the X-Terminator.
So when you first rolled out with the new Terminator truck, what was the reaction from the fans? You remember that?
I don't really remember. That's a long time ago, but I mean, it was very well liked. I remember hauling it on the old hauler, and it was open, like on a ramp bed kind of truck, and you know, couldn't stop anywhere without people bothering you. It's like they want to talk and try to get where you're going. So yeah, I think the response was pretty good for it.
When you came out, you know, with that Terminator name, because you know it is such, you know, that movie came out. Did you have to go through, you know, the movie industry and the guys who came out with the movie to, you know, get that name on the truck?
No, I just ran that name and took my chances, and I've run it the whole time. It actually, it was about 3 or 4 years ago when they did that monster truck movie with the monster under the hood and all that. That truck sat on a stage for 11 months, and I thought, boy, if someone's going to complain, it'd be right now. And no one's ever said a word. And actually, after this one was wrapped, my vinyl guy got a little nervous, and we sent a letter to the actual artist of that, because that was the newest truck has Terminator 2. And so we had sent a letter to that person just to, you know, if you want us to cease and desist using that, we will. And that guy had actually just died. So we never really heard from anybody. We've never really had anybody question it.
So we have a question from Valerie Vandefort. She says, is Evel Knievel your childhood hero?
No, it's my sister, so she knows all about me. I was jumping bicycles and, you know, we were jumping choppers and stuff like in the, you know, 60s. That was our jumping trash cans out on the sidewalk. So she always remembers that kind of stuff.
It, we all get somewhere, you know. I'm sure you got her doing that a lot too, right? But, you know, you started driving in the 1980s. How did that go? You know, your first, you know, you're, you know, one of the first guys, you know, doing the monster truck stuff out here on the West Coast. So what was that like, you know, getting started in the 80s?
Well, back in the old days, you know, you basically crawled over the cars. It wasn't, you know, too crazy. And in the middle of building that truck, which was in 83, I actually went to a show in Anaheim and helped Jim Aldecker, you know, helped him tire up. And, you know, I actually ran, you know, rode in the truck with him to go over the cars and stuff. So I got a little bit of a clue right there how things were. And it was a learning curve. You know, all you could do is kind of look at what other people had done and, you know, keep breaking stuff and changing axles and doing stuff to try to make the thing, you know, stay together and perform. So it was just more of a drive over the cars kind of thing back in the day.
Another question from Valerie, and she wants to know, where did you get your parts in the early years?
The first truck, I actually found an old military truck out in Julian, and I went out there and got the axles out from under it, you know, and just, you know, it was a stock, the truck was, you know, stock body and everything back in the old days. We just built like a subframe under it, which later on we broke that truck in half at a show, which was quite an adventure. So we just, you know, the parts were around, you know, there was a lot of stuff laying around back then, a lot more than there is now.
You know, as I was doing research, I came across some old photos of you in Hawaii doing a show for one of our past guests, John Borba. Can you tell us a little bit about those shows you did out in Hawaii for Borba?
Yeah, I actually did five Hawaiis for him, and they were a lot of fun. That we always did those in December, I believe, and it was kind of like when it was slow, you know, and just I got to run with all kinds of great people, you know, Bigfoot was at some, Mike Welsh, and, you know, it was always a good group, and, you know, it was always a lot of fun, that show, and the crowd there, they really, really loved it. They'd have like a, you know, like a, what do you call it, the deal out in the pits, you know, where they barbecue and all that, you know, kind of like at a ball game, I can't think of the word, but, you know, it was quite an adventure for them, they still love it, still get big crowds out there, same at the Aloha Stadium.
We have a comment from Lee Plato, always in the chat, and he says, love doing shows with you, Gary. If you even if he pulls up next to you at 4 a.m. and fires up the truck.
Not me at 4 a.m. I don't wake up at 4. So he must have me confused with somebody else. Might be him firing up at 4, but yeah. Usually I don't roll in at 4. I'm usually the night before and set up and nervous, you know, ready to go. But I might have woke him up once or twice.
There's always some camaraderie going on in the pits. You know, you stopped driving in the 90s, but then you did end up making a comeback in 09. So Can you give us some info on what you were doing between, you know, when you stopped and then kind of when you, right before you made your comeback in 09?
Well, I built a new truck. I had those two old trucks, Enforcer and Terminator, and I kind of sold pieces of them and kept some of the stuff and built a, you know, a nicer new truck, if I remember correctly. The only other time I had a pause in this is that I ran Terminator, and then for about a year or so, I built a ride truck out of the old Terminator, you know, way back. It was, I don't remember when, probably early 90s. I just, you know, tried to get away from it, and then, you know, that didn't last very long, and I was back to building a new truck. And then, you know, then later on I did that. I got rid of those two trucks, and I built one, you know, one good piece, you know, that would, you know, do what I wanted it to do. So you really hasn't been any real breaks. I've never not had a truck or something I was building. So I've been pretty steady for 36 years.
And now the new Terminator we have, you know, we see out on the circuit today. It's good. It's a 72 C10. You know, is that something you've always had in mind for the newer truck, or is that just something that popped up, you know, just out of nowhere, and you say, hey, I'm gonna put a 72 on this chassis?
Yeah, I like the 72 body, but I was kind of waiting for them to start making those bodies, and I think that truck originally had like a 99 Silverado body on it. And that truck's pretty old now. I have another new one that's about three quarters of the way done. So that truck there that I'm running now is probably going to get retired, and I'll finish this newer one sometime when I have time. But I started out with that newer body, and then once I got the 72 Chevy, I bought a couple 72 Chevys. Always been my favorite body style, so you know, I kind of went that direction.
Who are some of your favorite drivers to race against on the West Coast? You know, you got the Rod Woods, Mark Schraders, Bill Payne, you name it. What's that group of guys that you always love racing against?
Well, in the Monster Jam world, I liked, like, Mark McDonald. He was fun. Alex Blackwell and all those guys. And out here, I like, you know, me and Terry like to run together. You know, we do a lot of things together. So I like running with all of them. Rod's a good runner as well. I like running with Sam. You know, it's always fun there. So there's a lot of guys out west here that are fun.
You know, like you were talking about, you know, you've ran with Monster Jam. Can you give us, you know, some of your favorite stories or, you know, favorite moments you've had running with those Monster Jam guys, if you can remember them?
I don't know. Probably the best Monster Jam thing I had was in 2001 at the Qualcomm Stadium, which I ended up getting second in the racing, and I ended up winning the freestyle. And I'd actually missed that driver's meeting, and there was like all these rules, you know, don't go on this and don't do this and that. And I'm pretty sure I broke all the rules. And the one guy said, oh, that was a great run. He said, but man, they were yelling on the radio. So, but I always find a way to be in trouble anyways. You know, it seems to find me. So, but I they're all fun to run with. I mean, you know, those basic guys, like I say, really Mark McDonald's probably, you know, he's on the top of my list. I was trying to think, I'm drawing a blank here. I don't know. Alex Blackwell was one of them. Pablo's fun. You know, he's a good runner. Tom Mentz is fun, but he'll beat up on you. You know, it's hard to keep up with that guy. So, you know, that's stiff competition right there.
So how would you describe your driving style? You know, you go out there, do some slap wheelies, sky wheelies, big air. How do you describe your driving style, Gary?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really a wheelie guy. I'll take it if it gives it to me. And I like to get big air and stuff. But as the privateer, kind of had to keep an eye on how I ran, you know, just so I could get to the next show. You know, I consider myself more of a builder than a driver. I enjoy the building part more than the driving part.
You know, even if we do break something in the independent world, you know, there's always those guys that come back and help you out in the pits, you know, get you back up. But, you know, do you have any memories that you can remember, you know, moving away from the Monster Jam scene, doing the independent scene? You know, you're talking about running with a specific group of guys, you know, like Terry Woodcock. You know, we actually had Terry on here a couple weeks ago. But do you have any memories you can remember of doing independent shows?
I did a lot of shows, you know, like for Beckley and Steve Corzio and all them. And one of the shows I remember that just on a privateer level is when I ran with Jesse Berge, and that guy would always, he would drop what he's doing to help you. And that man saved me plenty of times. And I remember one time he broke the transfer case or something. And I remember spending hours helping him put it back in. And, you know, he was one of those guys that would always be there to help you out. Same with Sammy. If my stuff doesn't run, I'll run over to Sammy. And a motor guy, he knows all about that stuff. So, you know, I'd lean pretty heavy on him as well for support as far as, you know, fixing me out there on the track. Or, everybody stands behind each other, which is nice.
Matthew Scott says, hey there, Uncle Gary.
It's going to be all family tonight. Yeah, that's my nephew over there in Arizona. Nice and cool over there.
Yeah, well, we got a lot of Arizonans in the stream tonight, that's for sure. We got another question from Valerie. Story about Bobby in the early days in the passenger side. Is there any story behind that?
I don't know about the Bobby story. I mean, the story that sticks in my mind, my cousin Kent, one time we did a show at the Firebird Raceway, and I remember doing the mud bog, and he's like, you sure you want to do it? I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And that thing blew the tranny in the mud pit, and I remember we just towed it out, you know, just outside of the mud, but we were still in the mud, and I remember just basically stripping down to underwear. We changed that transmission in the underwear. So that's a pretty strong story. The Bobby story, I don't remember that one. I'm not sure.
I heard you mention something about the Firebird Speedway. How was it like competing there? Any thoughts on that? It's a very unique place.
Back then, it was just exhibition. I don't even remember who I ran for there, but there was probably just a couple of us doing an exhibition. And my career started with the tractor pulls. You know, I do all that Dave Matthews shows, and it was all tractor pulls and just me at the end of the show do a little exhibition, and that kind of went on for a couple of years. And then Bigfoot come in there, and I ran with them for 3 or 4 years with Dave, just me and them, you know. So it took, you know, 5 or 6 years before there was other trucks, you know, involved as far as, you know, me competing against them. It was mostly exhibition.
Well, not only do you have family in the chat, you have some of your early helpers in the chat. Rick Yance in the chat, as well as Rick Curcio. He says, Indio, when you actually broke the truck in half, side point, Gary's the best, has helped more new and upcoming guys.
Yeah, I remember breaking the truck in half, and believe it or not, that crowd sang happy birthday to me. It's like, not really the song I was looking for, you know, but it hit the cars, and it just snapped in two, and the front half was, you know, I mean, it was still in one piece, but barely, but it looked like a, you know, bent like a pretzel. So, yeah, that was pretty crazy. And then, you know, Rick and John Woods, those are both my helpers from when I ran my ride truck for years. I used to go around to Walmarts and different places, and I'd actually entrust them with that truck and have them, you know, running it for the weekend, because I had a regular job as well. So those were two good guys. And Rick has actually just recently helped me again. He was in Bakersfield with me last year running the new ride truck, so. I've had these guys around for 30 years.
What was that like? You know, we're talking about that breaking the truck in half. That sounds extensive. But what was that like? You know, I'm sure it landed really rough. And, you know, as soon as you heard stuff breaking, I'm sure you felt, you know, money leaving your wallet as it was happening.
Yeah, I remember pulling up to the cars, and actually John Furby was my helper there. And I kind of touched the cars, and back then we weren't doing nothing, but I was running with the Golden State guys, you know, and they get pretty good air and big wheelies and all that. And I thought, I can do that, you know? And so I bumped that car, and I backed up about 5 or 6 feet, and Furby's, you know, your helper stood on the track back then. He's stopping me, and I just kept backing up. And he's like waving his arms, like, what are you doing? I'm like, don't worry about it, you know? And yeah, I hit those cars, and that thing snapped in half. And then the sad part was I had a, pretty big display to do for the Shell SU2000 thing in Indio 30 days after that. And we worked day and night to build a whole new frame. And we pulled into Indio 30 days later, you know, with this new truck. And I remember, I mean, hadn't slept in a month basically. And remember parking it on display and going to that room. And I thought, I'll be back at 5 o'clock, you know, to load it all up. And I didn't even get there till the next morning. About made myself sick. We worked so hard on it. So it was a brutal move there, you know, but I wanted to do a wheelie or something, I guess. And, you know, it was stock frame with a subframe, and it just kind of split right in half.
So let's talk a little bit about the old style truck, you know, the Leaf Spring trucks going on to the more modern trucks we have now. You know, what is your favorite memory from, you know, the old school days back then? Do you have one specific thing that stands out running the older trucks compared to the more modern trucks?
Yeah, I remember I did a show, and I remember it was real close to my birthday, and I built that X Terminator, and a good friend of mine bought that Terminator for me, and we were kind of running as a team. And I remember doing that. We did the show in Phoenix there at the fairgrounds. It wasn't for the fair, but I remember, you know, going through all the rounds, and this new truck was beating up on everybody. And I remember that last round, that thing took a perfect bounce, and I rode a wheelie about probably 40 or 50 feet, you know, front tires about 4 feet off the ground. They had like a string across, you know, like a banner for the finish line you drove through, and it wheelied right over that. And that was a pretty exciting moment. I had just gone to alcohol, you know, and the injection and stuff. So that, you know, of the old days, that was probably one of my most memorable moments in the Leaf Spring truck.
You know, what was that like going from fuel injected to now alcohol injected? Was that, you know, was that a big step up, or what was the difference going from that?
Yeah, that was a big step, because I had gone from Predators, you know, I had a blower motor always, but I went from Predators on gas to injection. I had a Crower 8-port injection on there, and it ran real good, and it was night and day, you know, a whole different truck. And those old trucks were heavy. It was a steel body 72 Chevy, and the frame and stuff wasn't too heavy. I bought all my material from Golden State, you know, and it was pretty nice for its time. So it was definitely a big change, but it was, you know, those were the steps.
We have a comment from John Woods. He says, fun story of Camp Pendleton display about a runaway tire. Yeah, this should be interesting.
Yeah, that was we did a display for the military down there. They opened like kind of like a hobby shop and stuff. And they had all these buildings in the Camp Pendleton. It was probably a 2 or 3 acre parking lot. It had a little angle to it. And we went and unloaded the tires, and that one tire got away from us, and it went through the parking lot, missed all the cars, and it went down into a canyon. But the problem was, it was all razor wired crap down there, and we had to hook something to it and drag it back up like 100 or 150 feet or something. But it's just a miracle it didn't hit nothing on the way down the hill, because it went between cars and everything, and it disappeared. It went off the cliff, and it's like, uh-oh. You know, and of course, it was a freebie, you know, donated thing. You know, that's usually how those go. But yeah, that was definitely a day right there.
I bet there was a heart attack going on as soon as you saw that tire start rolling, seeing all those cars right around that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about doing displays and all that. Do you have any memorable displays that stick out to you other than, you know, this one right here we were just talking about losing a tire down the hill?
All right. I remember I did a display in Eugene, Oregon, and it was, I'm going to say, late 80s, maybe early 90s. And so I set the truck up. I had no helpers, you know, and I went out front to park it, and the guys are all guiding me in that worked at the dealership, and they're backing me up, and they backing me up right into a brand new S10 Blazer, you know, crunched the whole rear quarter panel of the thing in. It's like, and they'd sat there and watched. It's like, you know, didn't cost me nothing, but it was still, you know, I remember that display very well.
Ken Lewis is in the chat, and he says, as far as competing against Moss Gem guys, I remember you whipping Gravedigger in the racing finals in Sacramento when the truck was new. It was awesome. That's from Ken Lewis.
Yeah, we actually, we won that at the Arco Arena the first night, and then we actually won the second night, but they weren't going to hand it over. So that was a pretty good weekend.
You know what? I'm sure it must have been a great feeling going against, you know, the big names in the Monster Jam industry, and, you know, taking them down and being able to say, you know, at least say that you took one of them down, right?
Yeah, the best one for me was that Qualcomm show where I broke all the rules, but yeah, because Pablo was after me and all that, but we still ended up winning that. You know, that was in 2000 or something. That was my best probably win. You know, because we try to run, you know, as good as we can. But, you know, again, it's, you know, you have the finances to support whatever you have to support. And But there's been, you know, plenty of times. I mean, like Bigfoot, I ran with him for years and rarely beat him. He'd have to have some kind of moment. Now, but you get him once in a while. But, you know, those guys are hard to beat because that's, you know, they're all about it. So, you know, I would say, yeah, that 2000 or 2001 Qualcomm, that was probably my most memorable.
Well, this is about to get interesting. Let's bring on Phil Vichenons and see what Phil facts he has for us tonight.
What's going on, guys?
How's it going?
What's up, Phil?
What's going on?
Another Friday, another podcast, another awesome guest. You know, Gary, learned a lot about you so far here on the podcast, and make sure everyone's liking and sharing this video, and so we get some more questions in here. But, you know, kind of rolling through some of the more historical moments in your career, not a lot of teams can say that they were in Sports Illustrated. So how did that come about and, you know, eventually leading your way into the magazine?
I actually did a show for Mickey Thompson. I used to do quite a few shows for Mickey Thompson, and we were at the LA Coliseum that year, and they were, you know, there was, I guess, a few big magazines out there. Because in the old days, you'd be in a couple, two or three magazines a month. I mean, we've probably, you know, been in a few hundred magazines over the years, and I just got lucky that it was about Southern California people. They had like Surfer and all these different people, and so that, you know, that got me right in there. So I actually got a full center, you know, center spread in Sports Illustrated. And I actually had Mickey Thompson calling me. He was so excited, like, oh, get down. You got to go down, you know, go to the store and get the magazine. Well, he'd got his early, you know, subscription or whatever. But pretty exciting when he's excited about it, because that was his show. I just really, you know, he was very excited. So, you know, for me, that was another big highlight, you know, and to have that guy excited for you, that's pretty neat.
You know, Mickey Thompson was such a very, you know, for his time kind of promoter, very revolutionary in so many ways. You know, what were some favorite memories of doing events for Mickey Thompson?
I just remember they were always a lot of fun. They did it the right way, you know, and he brought in big names. You know, that year that I got in that Sports Illustrated, I mean, Mike Welsh was there with a couple trucks, Bigfoot. I don't remember if the Golden State guys were there or not, but there was a pretty good group of guys there, you know, so he'd always have a good, you know, good showing. So, and he was just a very nice, personable guy. He'd, you know, tell you about his eye surgery, or we had a lot of talks on the phone about things. And him and Mike Welsh were actually really close, you know, closer than I was to him. He'd bring trailers up to my shop. They'd build like belly boxes and stuff up in San Marcos, and he did a lot of things for him as well. So, you know, he was just a good guy to run for.
Who were some of those early people that really, you know, helped you out or gave you advice when you first broke into the monster truck scene?
I don't know about advice, because I kind of had to learn my own way, you know. But early on, like my first build, you know, Tony Elkins, which the Jonathan that who's driving for me is the son of Tony Elkins. So Tony Elkins, and you know, he helped me build my first truck, and then he helped me build my first four-link truck. You know, we actually took a, you know, a chassis, a, you know, a leaf spring truck and cut it up and made it four link. So he was definitely a big part. And then like Lewis Lobed, you know, I didn't have a hauler. So originally I had Jack Lewis hauling me around with his Lobed and never charged me anything to do it. You know, and I knew I'd get there safe and, you know, at a decent, you know, decent amount of time and stuff. So those were, you know, some early on people. I have a lot of good sponsors. You know, my transmission guy, I still have him. I've had him the whole time. It's, you know, well-built transmissions, and he's stood behind me forever. So I've really got a lot of good local support.
So you're obviously most well-known for being the owner and driver of Terminator, and I know we kind of touched on a little bit, but why did you choose the name Terminator for your truck?
I think it was movie related. I don't 100% remember why, but that's about when that movie came out, and I had made a whole list of it, you know, and tried to figure out the name. And then actually my second truck, the X-Terminator, we had a contest in a magazine and named that truck kind of thing. And that's how that name came about, you know. So, you know, it's a long time ago. So, but Yeah.
So you were one of the first people to bring your trucks over to Japan. I know we had a couple comments in there, and those Japan events were very big marquee events in the Tokyo Dome back in the day. You know, how did you get over there to Japan, and what was that experience like?
I remember that show. We did Hawaii, actually, right before then, and we shipped the truck. It got shipped to San Francisco, and then I moved it down the street to another ship, you know, and it went to Japan. And then Mark Galensky had actually bought the truck from me during the – I'd already contracted to do that show, but he bought the truck, you know, in the process. So me and him went over there together, you know, to do that show. But that was quite the experience. We were actually the very first people to ever do a show over there. And they chose the trucks, you know, apparently by the popularity of the trucks. So they – like Sohai 2 is a popular truck, and Mike's trucks were popular. So, that you know, they kind of handpicked who they wanted to go over there, you know, to do that show. But it was very – it was a neat experience, definitely.
What were some more interesting places that you've done events? You know, is there any place that really stands out in your mind as, you know, a great opportunity to bring your truck to?
I don't know about great opportunity. I mean, Hawaii obviously was, you know, that was a pretty important one. The LA Coliseum, that was a pretty important one as well. One of the places I liked, and it was just kind of a weird place, was the Cow Palace in San Francisco. That was a pretty neat place to do shows as well. We did Candlestick Park. You know, we only did one show there, but that was definitely, you know, something neat as well. I mean, done shows everywhere. I haven't done a lot of East Coast stuff. I mean, I did one tour back there, and I did it with Monster Jam. I think I did some with Ed Beckley as well, like Illinois and stuff. But I did Atlanta, went up that Atlanta Dome or whatever. That was brand new. I did the first show there. Little Rock, Arkansas. We did Florida. In Florida, it was a lot like Hawaii. They have the big, you know, everybody out in the pits out there barbecuing and stuff. So, you know, I've been to a lot of neat places for sure.
I know you're definitely not slowing down. Hey, I was talking to my buddy Brian Anger the other day, and you know, we were chit chatting about your history, and he reminded me that you ran the Valvoline Racer. You know, I know back in the day, the big name sponsorships were, you know, not very privy, and you know, they started popping up from time to time. So how'd that deal come together with Valvoline to change your truck over to Valvoline Racer?
Now, Valvoline, from the John Woods, who just chimed in there a little bit ago, he worked for SKS Oil, I think it was, and they were a Valvoline company. So then I got, you know, kind of involved with that, you know, a little bit through him, and then it just kind of took off from there. You know, they did the truck up. I changed X Terminator and made it into a Valvoline truck. And that was like in 1990. And then the hauler and everything was painted really nice as well. I mean, it wasn't a big dollar thing. We kind of looked better than we were, but it was definitely, you know, everything got fixed up real nice. And we got to do a lot of neat stuff with them. We did the Long Beach Grand Prix for a couple of years, and you know, we did different events for them that, you know, I wouldn't normally, you know, have been going to with the monster truck. So, and we did real well there. Like the Grand Prix, they'd have, I think, Al Unser Jr., and they had the Valvoline girls, and they had Wendy Tarman had a mud bogger that was Valvoline and all that. And that monster truck line for autographs, we'd have as good a line as any of them, and better than most of them, actually. We did real good with them.
Was there ever a point in your career that you drove somebody else's truck in an event other than yours?
I drove a truck for Steve one time. He bought a truck and it got sent to Victorville, and I ran it one show there. But I really didn't run a lot of trucks. I mean, I ran Terminator a couple times after I had sold it to Mark Galensky. And then once he sold it off, it didn't go with the name. You know, I kept the name, so. But I really pretty much drove mostly my own stuff, you know, for myself.
Now that's the right way to do it. And, you know, there was a period of time where you had two trucks running in your team. You were running the Enforcer with Jake Blackwell. What was the thought process there to expand to two trucks in the 2000s?
A lot of it's financial. You know, if you have two trucks, then you have, you know, better odds of, you know, making a little bit of money. you know, Jake was a huge help as well. You know, he helped me, you know, build my, you know, custom like Stinger trailers, and he, you know, he would just fly in and he just wanted to drive. I didn't make him do any of the work. It's like, I'll just meet you there. You know, and he'd cover his own ticket and everything and go show to show. We had a lot of fun together, me and him. You know, he was a big asset for me. Still is. He still helps me, you know, from time to time. I need stuff. He's always there for me.
You know, we have another comment here from Lee Plato. He wants to know, would you run any more Monster Jam shows in the future if you were asked?
No, I would not run any more Monster Jam. It's too political for me. I'd rather do the small stuff, and I'd rather, you know, for me personally, I would rather build the stuff and maybe run small shows. And I have no problem having a driver, you know, drive. You know, I really like the building of it. You know, I kind of thought after all these years, you know, that maybe 20 or 25 years into this, that teams would become big and there'd be big money in it, and I could be like a crew chief that could build really neat stuff for a team. And it never went that way. The privateers just kind of stayed in the same, you know, same spot they were 30 years ago.
Well, the business model is always changing in the sport. That's what makes Monster Trucks so unique, that it's very diverse and it always is adaptable. And, you know, you change with it too, where in the 2010s, there was time, you know, where you were stepping out of the driving seat and you had, you know, Jonathan Elkins drive your truck. What was the thought process behind kind of stepping away for a couple of years?
My thought there was that for me, I could do a better job if I kept everything running and, you know, kind of built up, you know, everything, the trailers, make all that stuff, you know, more efficient and nicer and, you know, have him represent it, you know, and he did a good job representing it. And he was kind of in charge of the sponsorship. He's good at getting the sponsors. So, you know, my deal is kind of like, you don't have to really do anything. Just I'll see you there. You know, you just, you know, I'll give you a list to aid and hustle these sponsors. And he did. He hustled a lot of different sponsors. So that was kind of my thought there. And honestly, you know, if he's doing a good job or somebody's doing a good job and I'm standing there, I'm every bit as happier than I am if I'm driving that truck.
And also with the adaptability, you know, we've kind of brushed on it, the way the sport changes from, you know, over the years, well, you know, how the events look or how the trucks act. You know, from when you got started in the business, it was very much car crushing. You know, the competition aspect wasn't very at the forefront yet. Compared to now, where there's a lot of, you know, the two-wheel stunts or backflips, what's your thoughts on kind of where the sport has changed over the years and where we're at currently today?
Well, I think it's a lot more entertaining now, and I love the what do you call it? The evolution, you know, the suspension and the way all that's gone is great, you know. And you can still go to these small venues and do a decent show without, you know, doing a backflip and stuff, which is nice. People still appreciate, you know, the old schoolers, so to speak, you know. And once in a while, something will happen to you where you do something pretty cool, you know, because it makes you, you know, you it just, you know. But I like where it's gone for the most part, you know, the politics and stuff, you know, I'm not crazy about that, but you know, that's life, you know, that's where things change and you gotta change with it. It's just like my old truck come through here a couple different times and I could have bought the old original truck, you know, but I'm working on newer stuff and I just, as much as I'd like to have the, and I have some trucks now, I bought Jake's old truck and sitting down there, but you know, I'm good with moving forward and making things better and better. That's where it needs to go.
You know, adapting the times is always important. And another guy that's done that, he's in the comments, Steve Curcio. Know him, you love him. And he asks you, are you ready to go run some events as an event director?
I do like being the event director. And, you know, when everything gets squirrely and crazy, and it always does, and things go wrong, I like it best then when it's chaos and you have no time to screw around. You got to fix the problem. And I absolutely enjoy that. You know, the event directing part, I actually like better than the truck driving part. I enjoy that.
Well, hey, since Steve is in the comments, I got to ask you, do you have any good Steve Curcio stories you'd like to share?
Well, remember last time I shared the one with you about the brawl in the parking lot at Pahrump, Nevada. So I'm trying to think, you know, a lot of times I miss those parties. You know, we did a show in, where was it? Atlanta, a little town outside of Victorville. And I always miss all the cool stuff. And then Sam was there and all that. I guess somebody tried to take a banner and, you know, they were all jumping over the table and there was quite the fight there. And, you know, I always miss that stuff. So usually I'm back there, you know, at the campsite tearing down and stuff. So, but yeah, we've, you know, we've had some adventures for sure. You know, I don't know if it's directly with, I just always remember the prop in Nevada. That one stuck in my mind, you know, pretty much more than any of them.
Hey, you've always kept yourself very busy in the monster truck business. And, you know, being out in California, I know you have great connections to the Hollywood scene. What were some of the, you know, big name commercials or movies or TV shows that you've had your trucks involved with?
Yeah, I've done a lot of TV stuff, a lot of it. And I try to remember. I mean, I did like National Rent-A-Car commercials and Domino's Pizza. I did a lot of things. And then in 2001, I had an opportunity to, I was actually in Denver, Colorado doing a show. And I got a phone call from a transportation captain. And it came through, a friend of mine put me on the internet, you know, way back when, and this guy found me somehow. So I was there with Jake, and we were doing a show for Torgerson there, a 2-day show. And this guy calls me and asks me, "Hey, you know, you interested in doing, you know, something in Dallas?" And I'm like, "Well, what kind of something?" He goes, "Well, you know, it's film." And so we're sitting there talking, and he goes, "Yeah, you know," and it said, "You know, I know a guy in the monster truck business." And I'm like, "Who's that?" He goes, "Oh, you know, Jake Blackwell. You know, he hauled all the Dirty Harry cars. He did all the cop cars, all those things for that series that was Mel Paso Productions." And he goes, "You ever see Jake Blackwell around or, you know, whatever?" And I'm looking right at him. He's right there, like 4 feet away. I go, "Yeah, I see him sometimes." So I'm like, "Hold on a sec." Handed the guy the phone, and they talked for a minute. And so then we hauled ass that Sunday night. We drove pretty much all night to get home. And I think Tuesday morning we were on a plane to go do that a preview for that movie. And that movie was a life changer for me. You know, it was a, you know, good pay, and it was a good experience. It was a lot of work. I mean, I did, you know, all kinds of things. And that's when I hired Terry Woodcock to come in there, you know, and I kind of, you know, gave him a little shot in the arm, and he said, "I'd like to work with these guys." And I said, "Well, I'll line you up." And he's been in that business ever since. So it had a lot of good rewards out of that film.
And when you appeared in the movie Serving Sarah, your trucks were branded as El Toro Diablo. Was that a name that you came up with, or was that a name originally made for the movie?
No, it was. They made it. They came up with the names. And then I remember that because I was doing all that running around. I flew to St. Louis and picked up bodies and stuff. And I kept telling them, you know, we need these bodies, and they have a 30-day wait, you know, 30 days to get the bodies. And they kept putting it off like they always do, and it got to be like 30 days out. And I'm like, "You need to order these bodies." And they're like, okay. And then they got to be like 3 weeks out, and then it got to be like 2 weeks out. And I'm like, "These guys aren't going to make the bodies." No, just call and order them. I go, "You won't have them for 30 days. And so I call the guy, and he goes, "Yeah, it's 3 days." I go, "How about we pay double, you know, or 2.5 times? And some magically way, those bodies got done. And you know, I flew out there and picked them up. I remember it clear as day. And I stopped back through Dallas and had the arts department look at the bodies. And I took them home and got them mounted on both of my trucks. And then we hired Meyer, you know, and it was expensive to paint them, you know, shiny black. And he got the one done. And they're like, "We got to come pick up a body. You know, they're going to send a truck down to pick up a body." I go, "Well, I'm coming Wednesday." And he go, "No, we need it now." So I put that shiny one mounted on my truck, and I sent that other body to Dallas. And I remember taking that truck, and that thing was beautiful. And I unloaded it, and I said, "You know, don't scratch this. You know, don't mess it up." And okay. And the next day I got there, they sanded the whole thing down. It's like, ah. So from that point on, I realized, don't worry about their money, because they're not worried about it, so don't worry about it.
I hear you right there. We've got another question here in the comments from Rick Curcio. You got some recent press this week. Tell us about the rap music video.
Oh, yeah, we did a Kanye West Tyga video, and it was like, I want to say it was the end of 2017, and It was a disaster. You know, it was snowing up here and the weather was terrible. And I actually hired, you know, helped him rent the Lake Paris Speedway to do that deal. And so we, you know, had trouble with the vinyl wrap. It's like, oh, I got a guy, you know, Kanye's guy. He'll wrap it. And I went down there and sat in the left turn lane downtown Hollywood. I sat in the left turn lane for probably 6 hours. And they finally said, oh, we can't do that. I'm like, really? Because this, like his buddy, we're supposed to get this done. And so, you know, long story short, we went to another place. And that was a tough deal. But we got through it. They started filming at 6 at night. And it ran till the sun came up the next day. You know, and it was freezing. But that actually wasn't supposed to air. They refilmed it with, like, lowriders or something else. And I thought, okay, that one got thrown in the can. And apparently it leaked out. I don't know if production company leaked it or who leaked it. But, yeah, so it showed up the other day. And it's like, yeah, pretty racy for me, I guess.
Just checking the time, and I just realized it's time for Explain That Photo. The name of the game is pretty simple. We bring up a photo on the screen, and you have to explain it. We're going to start it off with my picture. Explain this photo. Courtesy of the Monster Pool.
That is Exterminator at Qualcomm Stadium, and right above that truck is I think it was like the very first show for that Robosaurus. He was over the top of me, and he was doing like an exhibition, like with fire and all that. And I remember it burning my arm sitting there. So that's what that picture was from.
All right, Phil, do you have a picture?
I sure do. Let's bring it up.
That one there was in, where was that? That was in Bakersfield at the indoor show, and could not keep up with that hammy of way too much horsepower for me, but I gave her all she had, and that was the old Terminator. Actually, I had those airplane, I made shocks out of airplane landing gear or landing struts back then.
MJ, do you got something?
We sure do, Vinny. Bring that one up.
That one there was, it was still Sandiegan, and I think that it just had 2.5 tons on it. I was doing a display, and that was in Carlsbad, and I hated the wheels red, so I never went back to the red, and that was a mistake.
We have another one on the screen now.
That one there, that picture there is from that Mickey Thompson show that Sports Illustrated was at. And that was actually in a magazine in Japan. We were in like 4 or 5 different magazines in Japan, and that was one of the photos there.
Got another one, looks to be Enforcer.
Enforcer, that's in, well, I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, but I can remember all this. That was at the Strawberry Festival in Santa Maria, and that's actually Jake driving right there.
That's awesome. Here we got one last picture for you to explain.
Yep, that's the ride truck. That's that Rick and John used to help me run that all the time. That was a pretty neat ride truck. I actually retired the Terminator, one of them, and I went and bought a stock Chevy four-wheel drive, and I drove it home and stuck the body and stuff on there. Made a ride truck out of it.
And you've had quite a few different trucks, or, you know, whether they're race trucks or ride trucks. Is that always just a thought process to always keep building something fresh, or, you know, fine-tuning something that maybe didn't work on the previous truck?
Yeah, I like to build trucks. My trucks generally ran about 5 or 6 years, you know, and then I'd kind of move on down. I've done probably 12 or 14 trucks over the years. This truck that I'm running now, that truck was actually built in like 2006 or something, maybe a little later. So that one there's been around a long time, but I haven't been running that much. We did a lot of TV stuff with it. It's been, you know, busy with that. Me and Terry both are working hard on the film stuff. So most of it's been that.
Talking about building trucks, we have a comment here from Mike Menner, who's always in the chat. What advice do you give a guy who is getting ready to build a full size?
Well, it depends. I mean, you'll probably never get your money back out. You know, if you're trying to go to make money, then it's tough to do. But if you're just doing it, you know, full-size racetrack and you have something else, you know, to live off of, then, you know, it's a neat way to have a hobby and you get paid for it, but it's a lot of work. It's not like going to the desert, you know. it's, you know, and the parts are expensive now. To build a nice competing truck, anything that's even kind of worthy, it's pretty costly now. You're not going to find the stuff, you know, in the junkyards like we used to find.
Yeah, actually, I bet it is. We're talking about the Strawberry Festival in Santa Maria. Yeah, I actually had a show, I believe last year, actually here in Santa Maria at the new racetrack they had out there. It's crazy, man. The new trucks and what they're doing compared to, you know, seeing videos of the old stuff, it truly is a mechanical marvel to see, you know, what is happening nowadays.
So you've had the opportunity to watch your son drive, Gary Schott Jr. You know, he's a second generation driver. You know, was that always his goal, to follow in your footsteps to become a driver?
Yeah, he tried it. I mean, he drove his first show was in Enforcer, and it was in Victorville. And I remember that day real well as well. We went to somewhere, Bravo Burger, somewhere. I got him a burrito for breakfast, and he started eating it. It took like a bite, and I'm like, by the way, you're driving tonight. And I remember that burrito just sat there. He walked away, and there it sat. And he did a good job, and he was a hell of a driver. You know, he tried his hand at the ownership part. We tried it together, and it was just it was a rough journey for sure. And he's got a good job, so, you know, business-wise, I don't think that he thought that, you know, it was, you know, had a good future.
So tell us a little bit about the Tournament of Destruction. We got to see the Terminator out there a couple months back. Will we possibly see the Terminator return to the Tournament of Destruction in Tucson, Arizona?
Yeah, we were lined up to do that before this, you know, the cooties came out. You know, that was lined up. I was supposed to bring the ride truck and the race truck, and I was actually supposed to help him run the show. So I was going to be pretty busy, and it just, you know, this thing put a stifle on all of it. So everything I had lined up went away. I haven't done a thing since this, you know, deal hit.
Hey, you know, some of those modern projects, you know, I was just scrolling through Facebook, and I realized you and Terry Woodcock have been kind of tinkering with some of the past builds of, you know, yesteryear and monster trucks. You know, how'd that relationship kind of start with Terry, where you're up there, you know, always checking out some of his new projects?
Me and Terry, we met a long time ago. You know, he was running his own trucks back then, and then really we got a lot closer when I hired him to do that movie. You know, I called him because I knew I could trust him. He wouldn't say anything. And I said, you know, I can pay you good. And ever since then, we've been, you know, even more close. I fly out to Illinois. I helped him, you know, on his race truck. And I helped him on that restoration truck. And I actually found the restoration truck. It was out here. And I knew the guy that owned it. So I was able to wrestle it, you know, from him. And I'm out there all the time. If I'm not doing what I'm doing, you know, here, I'm usually at Terry's shop working. I spend a lot of time there working, just, you know, it's been a few months since I've been out there, but I go out there and help him, like on that, the train, the Orange Blossom special, whatever. I help him on that. We put the motor in there and did some stuff. And so, yeah, I got my hands in all that with him.
Well, since you've been running around with Terry for so long, do you have any good Terry Woodcock stories that, you know, stick out the top of your head? I know Terry's a listener and he's kind of thrown some at you. So do you have anything to throw back at him?
I don't know. I mean, the girls liked him. We used to bet on him how long it'd take him to pick up a girl. And I think the record was like 60 or 70 seconds. I remember that. You know.
Good old Terry.
Yeah. The girls liked him. He was a pretty popular guy.
Well, we have a comment from our good buddy Levi Shones. And he says, I remember one of my favorite Gary moments was Anaheim 2010. The track was super muddy. Gary made it far in the race bracket and then blew it up in freestyle. Always had one of the best looking trucks.
Yeah, I don't remember blowing it up. I think I blew something, but I don't remember blowing it up. But yeah, I had a good day there. It was muddy as hell and those guys weren't having it. And I had to make a choice the whole night until I got to the end. And I believe that politics put me in the other lane, but I still almost beat Digger in the other lane. You know, I hadn't run that lane all night, but it was super muddy, which fits right in for me. And I got the Firestones. I got a lot of cleat on them. So that was a good night. But something blew that night, but it wasn't a motor. Something blew, but I don't remember what it was. Probably a tranny. But that was a good night for racing for us.
It was a great night for racing. You've had a lot of key moments. What were some of the key victories that, if you can remember, competing in monster trucks?
I got to say, the best one is at home here at Qualcomm in 2000 or 2001. I'm trying to remember. I've had rounds, Kohler, I've run against him, and, I was a little faster than him in racing, but he's another one that was a really good guy. He would do anything for you, but I don't really remember. Most of my big memories are more, TV related and some of the shows we did, as far as TV stuff. Racing wise, in the old days, like we did a lot of shows in Montana, Wyoming, me and Terry, and that was when Digger was just independent, and we'd set up that course to be like a tight turn, like a Chicago style, and we take turns beating up on them, and that crowd would boo us when we beat them, but we got booed every weekend because we couldn't get around the corner quick, Me and him, we knew how to shave we'd shave the flag, so to speak. We shave the cones, make it a square course, kind of. So those were fun victories. They're small tracks, but the big, big names were there, and Digger was one of them, so.
Another one of those small venues is the Del Mar Arena at the San Diego County Fair. And Valerie wants to know, how many years did you race over in Del Mar?
I ran Del Mar a lot of years. It just became too many shows. In the beginning, it was like two shows, or then it became four shows. And then it started to kind of grow where it became more and more shows. Like, was not a good business move. But I like Del Mar. I was born 5 miles away from there, so that's hometown for me. So. Good memories in Del Mar for sure.
And I think they were supposed to have, 5 or 6 days of monster trucks this year had the world gone as planned. So they continue to keep pumping out shows there in Del Mar. It's still one of the key events here in the West Coast. We have another comment here from Rick Curzio. He wants to know your most memorable run with Steve and Dave Matthews.
I don't know. I mean, Steve, we did a lot of small stuff. Like I say, I just don't remember all the, there were some wrestling matches in the pits. I remember the tough truck guys getting, out of hand and stuff. Those are the things that I remember there. Matthews, I don't remember being that eventful. It wasn't really that. Dave, I ran at the end of the show. They do all those truck pulls, and then it was me, and then it was me and Bigfoot at the end. Most of the shenanigans happened at the hotels and in the rental cars and, those kind of things. I don't remember a lot of on track, but I'm sure they happened. I just don't know that I remember them. It's been so long.
Yeah. Also, another comment from Rick Yance. He still wants to know, do you still have the Valvoline helmet you received as a gift in Long Beach years back?
I think I'd still have that helmet. Yeah, because I got a helmet, I think, and they painted it up. And yeah, I think I still have it. I ran it for a long time, that helmet. Yeah, I've got the Valvoline suit still. I got a lot of stuff. I saved they had bumper stickers from Japan, stay off the truck. I saved all that stuff. I got the tickets from Japan and I got the program and stuff. So I hung on to quite a bit of stuff. I probably should have hung on to more, but. I've hung on to my fair share of things. A Japan jacket, they gave you like a windbreaker, and it was, the Tokyo Dome jacket. It doesn't fit anymore, but yeah, I hung on to that stuff.
Kind of fast forward and back to more your movie roles. I happened to read up that you had some roles with the movie Rat Race, but you did some of the test shots with them. How come you weren't really featured in the movie?
Yeah, I just did the test shots for them. I don't even know where that was filmed. It might have been back east or Canada or somewhere, but they hired me to go out there to Lancaster and do all the test shots for that. But I just never got involved in that one. I know that Don Frankish and, wasn't my, I can't remember the other guy's name, the one that was the main guy. I don't remember his name, but he hired me to do the shots. But that was just one of them that didn't land. But we've gotten plenty over the years, like Car 54, Where Are You? I didn't even know I was in that movie until somebody showed me, it was in a TV clip where they were watching it. But you know, the Serving Sarah was probably the biggest, you know, that was probably the biggest thing. But I've done, you know, quite a few commercials and stuff too, and lots of music videos. We've done a lot of rap, you know, a lot of, you know, we did that one with the Zombies, Trippy Red, whatever, you know, that we did that one a couple of years back. That was a pretty popular video. It's just not my kind of music, but it apparently was a, you know, big seller.
We got a comment here from the one and only Terry Woodcock. He wants to know, when are you returning to the fun toy shop?
Yeah, about January I'll be off duty here. So yeah, it's a fun. Somebody wrote in there like, "Oh, you guys are always at the fun toy shop," and it's like they have no clue about the fun toy shop. It's like all work and two old guys at the end of the day complaining to each other. So not a lot of fun, but the projects are cool. You know, you got to look at the big picture.
And Terry says, did you ever have to tire down someone else's because he couldn't even walk good enough to take his off his race suit?
Yeah, I remember one night that he couldn't take off his suit and he was trying. I'm like, just get your ass in the hauler. And I said, I'll get all this stuff, you know, loaded. So yeah, I've had to, you know, he's hurt himself a couple times and, you know, I'm generally in good shape for the most part. So I remember that night too. He was hurting something with the shocks or something, you know, he's giving him trouble. But yeah, I've definitely had to tire it down that night.
Hey, you've accomplished a lot in the monster truck business, but if you weren't in monster trucks, what would you be doing as a career?
I'm not really sure because I have no education. You know, I kind of didn't go to school and I was a roofer, you know, in the beginning for my dad. That was not going to be a lifelong dream. So, you know, the monster truck thing, I mean, the off-road shop I liked, it goes back to the building. I like building stuff. So I opened that little off-road shop and that was really my main focus. I'd still be doing that, but then all the really big shops come in town and they run the prices down so far on like lift kits and things that it just, you know, couldn't do it. It wasn't worth, you know, the overhead and stuff to do it. So, you know, so I don't know what else. I mean, that's pretty much all I've ever done, but I do like the event coordinating and the running of the deal. You know, I think that plays good into me, you know, in my personality, and I, you know, try to keep things calm, and I think I deal pretty good with people and stuff. So if I had to make a choice of a path to go down now, you know, and I can make a living at it, that's probably what I'd do.
As we begin to wind down here, you know, through it all over so many years, what has been your favorite memory in monster trucks?
I'm gonna have to say Japan. I mean, that was probably one of the biggest biggest deals for me. It was just such a neat experience to be the first ones there, and you know, just the whole thing was a good experience. So I mean, there's not really one. I'm forgetting thousands of them. You know, I've got thousands of stories. They're just not hitting my head. If somebody asked a goofy question, then I'd have an answer. But my brain needs to be stimulated, I guess.
Hey, you know, so many years of memories, it's always hard to pick out some of those key ones, but there has to be kind of something in the back of your head that's got to think, man, I wish I would have had an opportunity to do that. So my question is there any key, you know, something that you wish you could have accomplished that you haven't done yet that you would like the opportunity to do?
I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty happy with, you know, the things I've accomplished. I like the things that I built. You know, I'd like the sport to have gone in a direction where I could have been a crew chief or, you know, something big for a big team. You know, I don't need to own the team. You know, I wish it would have went kind of the NASCAR way a little bit, but I have no regrets. It's been good to me. Everything I have is because of monster trucks. You know, I built a good life out of it. I've done a lot of wheeling and dealing and parts and things, and me and Terry both do that. He does it a lot more than me, but I've done pretty well with that as well. I like the hunt, go find stuff to sell and things that people need and stuff. So I don't really have any regrets. It's been pretty good to me.
No regrets. That's how I love it. That's how I like to hear it. You know, Gary, we'll make this our last question here. You've accomplished so much in your career. You're not done yet, but when it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be?
That I treated people fair. You know, that I had, you know, good equipment that they appreciated when I build. You know, that's important to me. If I build a nice, you know, nice truck, you know, and someone goes, man, that's a nice piece, that those things mean something to me even more than the driving, you know, the accomplishment of what was built and the craftsmanship that went into it.
And I say you definitely have accomplished that, and you're not slowing down anytime soon. You know, it's been great to learn a lot more about you here tonight, Gary. You know, you've had an incredible career thus far, accomplished so much, and I know you're not slowing down, and I think all of my other co-hosts here would agree with that.
Definitely agree.
Oh, yeah, definitely, 100%.
Learned a lot about Gary tonight. Enjoyed listening to it myself, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We always love hearing different tales from all the guys here on the West Coast. I appreciate having you on here, Gary. I know we'll see you down the road at an event and hopefully back here on the podcast very soon.
All right, I'll be there for you.
Awesome. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. All right, thanks.